Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Holy moly, do we have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about today. Both good and bad, but enough chit-chat, let's get to business. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. Here's the bad news. Biden has caved somewhat to conservative Democratic senators on the means testing of the checks. While the phase-out will still begin at $75,000 for individual filers and $150,000 for joint filers, it will now phase out completely at just $5,000 or $10,000 above those numbers, respectively, cutting out millions of people who got the first checks, and all just to save $12 billion on a $2 trillion bill, or 0.06%. That is the hill on which Manchin and a few others have chosen for the Democratic Party to die. For make no mistake, in addition to harming the people cut out, this will be viewed as a betrayal of the promise of the Democratic Party at large to the public in the Georgia runoffs, and the consequences will be dire. Ossoff and Warnock will be up for re-election in just 2 years, along with many other senators, and a few party dissidents are giving a massive boon to the newly autocratic GOP for their next assault on the walls of democracy. And they have done this for nothing, less than nothing. There is literally zero advantage to targeting aid versus giving universally and taxing back from those who did not need it. All this does is ensure that people in need will be excluded and make the whole process more difficult and expensive to implement. This is a colossal failure of logic and reason, which will have nothing but potentially catastrophic effect. And it comes just after a recent poll where 68% of Americans responding said that they support $1,400 checks and $400 bonus unemployment benefits, even if Republican legislators will not vote for it. The checks are also by far the most popular measure among Republicans at 61%, making it bipartisan among both parties, if not among GOP legislators. The unemployment aid will be raised to $400 against Manchin's wishes. That was apparently the compromise. Also, you remember how we talked about the Voting Rights Act getting gutted years ago by the Supreme Court when it ruled to nullify the measure that required states to get approval from the courts before enacting changes to their voting laws, and how that cleared the way for voter suppression bills? Well, the GOP are looking to follow up that success by destroying the rest of the VRA's protection. The Supreme Court is now hearing a case that many Republicans are hoping will lead to the nullification of Section 2, the measure that prohibits unequal access to voting by race. That they would seek to do away with something that prevents racial discrimination in voting pretty much says it all. Others are looking to modify rather than abolish Section 2 from banning discriminatory outcomes to only banning discriminatory intent. And yes, that is as ridiculous as it sounds. Every voter suppression bill already denies discriminatory intent while producing discriminatory outcomes. This change would remove the law that has allowed most of those bills to be overturned in court. In other words, either of these changes to the VRA would be a return to the Jim Crow days of oppressing minorities. And this is why nonpartisan judges and balanced benches are so important. We will have to hope that the supermajority conservative court sides with the Constitution here to protect the right to vote in America. On that note, major thanks to Arizonans who collectively made 208 calls totaling 8.5 hours to Senator Sinema's office in a single day, demanding that she eliminate the filibuster and support H.R. 1. That is the kind of pressure that it takes to get results. If you live in a state whose senator is supporting the filibuster or means testing, get on the phone or start writing. And all of us, everywhere, should let our reps know what we passionately support and will sway our own votes. Speaking of H.R. 1, Trump, in typical fashion, lobbed a lot of misinformation at it in his CPAC speech. It's the same kind of attacks that right-wing media have been spreading for years about H.R. 1. PolitiFact put out a useful fact-check guide answering these attacks. Most of them ultimately boil down to not wanting protections against security measures that would make it harder to vote in the name of preventing non-existent voter fraud. We've already gone over many times how that is not a real issue. But moving on to the good news, we've got big movements on the fight for a temporary UBI. 11 senators, Ron Wyden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker, Michael Bennett, Sherrod Brown, Kristen Gillibrand, Tammy Baldwin, Ed Markey, Richard Blumenthal, and Alex Padilla have all signed a letter to Biden urging him to support recurring unconditional cash to Americans for as long as the recession lasts. Why are these few legislators such a big deal? Because one, they are senators, and two, many are sitting on influential boards. Among them are the budget chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee, including the chairman of that committee, who led the effort. And guess what else? He was the main target of Income Movement's Past Due Invoice campaign. They delivered thousands of UBI petitions directly to his office, and would you look at that? Here he is, advocating for UBI at the highest levels. One could almost believe that activism works. They're even using our talking points in the letter. This is awesome. If Biden backed UBI, even a temporary one, and normalized it for the Democratic Party, that would be a giant leap forward for the movement. If your senator is not on that list, contact them today and tell them to add their name. And the good news keeps on rolling in. Stockton just released the data for their two-year, $500 a month basic income trial, and it's better than expected. In the first year, recipients went from 28% full-time employment to 40%, compared to the control group who went from 32% to 37%, meaning the basic income participants gained employment at over twice the rate. Suck on that, myth of laziness. They say the extra income security gave them the means to invest more time in getting better jobs, such as via interviews or internships. As Scott likes to say, income is not just the outcome of work, income enables work. Unemployment rates among the basic income and control groups started at 12 and 14% respectively, and while control group unemployment rose 1%, trial participants' unemployment dropped 4%. They experienced significantly less income volatility and spent the money on all the necessities and investments one would generally consider good, such as food, education, and debt reduction. Less than 1% of the money went to vices like cigarettes or alcohol. And of course, it improved mental health and quality of life. This is the most pro-work trial result I've seen to date, and it shows that people don't need an attitude adjustment. They need resources to achieve their potential. These results have been getting a lot of press as well. CBS's morning show did a great segment reporting the results and expressing encouragement, and there have been many articles in addition. It's a good day when basic income is prominent in the news. Speaking of, great news from Newark, New Jersey. They just became the latest American city to pass a resolution in support of a guaranteed income. Give Mayor Baraka a big thank you. And even bigger news from London. Organize HQ has partnered to put up billboards around London calling on Rishi Sunak to endorse UBI, and it's working. I'm overjoyed to announce that London has become the largest city in the world to pass a motion in support of a basic income trial. Following an in-depth consideration and expert consultation, the city will explore a UBI pilot involving up to 10,000 people across different boroughs. This is huge. If London takes up a basic income, expect many more to follow. And London will be the 28th city in the UK now supporting basic income trials. Thank you, UBI Lab. Finally, a shout-out to Craig Gravel for writing a letter to the editor of his local paper on UBI. I love that he pointed out how it makes no sense to have so many different welfare programs, creating a massively complex bureaucracy that is ripe for corruption, fraud, and failure, a claim well-supported by recent reporting of $63 billion in unemployment insurance fraud during the pandemic. A UBI would not only be more efficient, secure, and accessible, but more effective as well. Writing like this needs to be in every paper across the world. This is how you get your local community thinking about UBI and grow support. Calling and writing your mayor to ask them to join Mayors for a Guaranteed Income is also how you get action. Let's make it happen, gang. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Set Biden and Manchin straight on means testing. tell anyone you know in Arizona to pressure Sanima on the filibuster, get your reps to sign the basic income letter, bookmark and share the HR1 fact check, the Stockton trial data, and the Newark and London resolutions, write a letter to the editor, flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the resist bot or income movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way, and don't forget to Yang Daily.